live from Nick's Place for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel, I'm Jeremy. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live at Nick's Place on Rocky Ridge off Westheimer. We'll be here until 3. The Will House will be here until 7. Got giveaways, great spot to hang out, great spot for lunch, great spot to ditch work a little early. Come by, have some good bites, some good drinks.
Food's
incredible.
What's
not to like here at Nick's Place?
You have a maitre d' slash owner slash bartender slash just concierge and amateur comedian in Nick that just makes you feel at home right when you walk through the doors. And then you just have a good old time. It's a fantastic place to hang out.
Yeah, it is a great spot. Looking forward to the next 3 hours. Then we'll hang out with the Wheelhouse a little bit. They'll be here till 7. Not a great night yesterday for the Houston Astros as the bullpen implodes yesterday as they fall to the Seattle Mariners in the final game of that series, 8-5. Look, we're not going to get upset, I don't think, at least I'm not, with series victories over an arch rival, over a team that's trying to catch you in the AL West. Astros, yeah, they won the series. Yesterday wasn't a great look there with the bullpen. But win the series 2 out of 3. You're able to extend the lead in the American League West during the series. Astros in a fine spot even with the loss yesterday.
They are, but you know what? As much as we're paid to bring up the question marks and discuss the key issues with the team, as much as I was sold on James Click, and it's not any fault of his with the moves that he made leading up to the trade deadline, short of Kendall Graveman, I've got some concerns about that bullpen because Yimi is not exactly getting guys out lately. And then Maton comes in yesterday and just adds gas to the fire. We already know how I feel about Brooks Raley. And I start looking at this bullpen and again, the bipolar performances of Stanek, and I'm going, I don't know if I feel that confident in this bullpen anymore. Maybe we need to look at the split games with double starters for multiple games in the playoffs because of the fact, even more so than just because the starters are only giving you 5, more so because the more I look at that bullpen, aside from Graveman and Presley, and even Presley had issues yesterday, I'm not so sure that I'm sold on anybody else coming in.
Well, it sounds like you want to start with the bad instead of the good from yesterday's game, which is fine. The bullpen was a huge concern. We're going to talk about that in great length over the next 3 hours. But here was Dusty Baker yesterday after the game talking about said bullpen.
It's just harder when you go to that bullpen every day on consecutive days like that. And, you know, we brought in Maton because he's been historically good on lefties, and that the kid, Kalenic, hadn't hit a breaking ball the whole series and just hung a breaking ball. So that's why we brought him in there, because he was historically better against lefties than Yimi. And so, you know, he's left one up, you know, out over the plate. You know, the same thing, you know, with Press. Like I said, the guys weren't sharp today that were ordinarily sharp. And then, you know, Taylor, you know, left one up on a breaking ball up on Crawford.
You're not going to win many games when you use 8 relief pitchers or 8 pitchers total. You used Jose Urquidy. He went 3 innings. Then you used 7 relievers. And after that, Christian Javier looked good. He went 2 1/3. Brooks Raley, Daly Raley, looked pretty solid in his inning as well. But as Dusty Baker mentioned, Maton hung that breaking ball. That was kind of a difference in the game a little bit. It allowed Seattle back into it. Yimi Garcia, again, not sharp for the Houston Astros. And then the rare Ryan Presley outing where he did not look good. And it came on the heels as we were talking yesterday. Who do you trust more right now in this bullpen, Kendall Graveman or Ryan Presley? You and I both thought Ryan Presley. And look, you know, yesterday probably one of those outings. But Presley's not been as good in the last 2 weeks as he's been really the entire regular season for this team.
Little hinting around about arm, I don't want to say issues, but maybe a sore arm, tired arm. But these are the kind of things that you don't want to deal with come playoff time. Because, again, you don't want to be ironing things out in terms of major issues. You want to just be getting ready for the stretch run, prepping for your best baseball of the year. And that's what concerns me the most, because of the fact that Ryan Presley has been number one on our list all year as the guy that you most trust, no matter when he's in the ballgame. And then you get a guy in Graveman that looks like, hey, he can step right into a very much needed role of another reliable guy that when you go to him, he could basically turn the lights out and the party's over. So as I look at this, I'm like, okay, well, it's good that you have that six-game lead in the loss column to kind of play with a little bit, because as we talked about yesterday on the show, I want to make sure that this team figures it all out in the next week or so that they can kind of just get a little bit of a momentum build heading into the playoffs and stop worrying about the division and worry more about who you're going to play and who's going to have home field advantage.
To your point, though, it's going to be difficult to do that, right? Like, if you go with the idea of where you're going to stack some starting pitchers together, which I like that idea, especially when you get to the postseason, because I think at this point you're looking at three guys that you, although I would even say two guys that at this moment you can trust. One of those would be Lance McCullers Jr. The other one would be Framber Valdez. I was thinking you would trust Zach Greinke, but you got to see a start or two from Zach Greinke down the stretch before you really trust him coming off of the COVID health and safety protocol list or whatever they're calling it these days in Major League Baseball. Like, you can't guarantee that he's going to be a solid start in that number three spot right now, too. So it's something you really can't even tinker with or experiment with in the regular season.
Yeah, I think that you bring up a good point. The Greinke thing is one that's kind of a little worrisome to me as well. I look at Greinke and I go, look, he might get weak. You know, we looked at the first time Kyle Tucker was put on the COVID list, and he lost, what, 10 pounds?
Yeah.
So that's a concern for me with a guy like Greinke, who already is not a power pitcher. But the one thing that you need from Greinke is endurance. And so, you know, I know that when Garrett Cole was dealing with it, somehow or another, whether I think they had a catcher or something like that had already been through it, but he was able to throw even though he was not able to be around the team, and they found a way to keep, you know, his arm stretched out. I hope Greinke's doing some kind of a throwing program, whether it be on his own or with somebody else that they figured out can help him, because he is going to be needed more and more, because he's one of those guys when you talk about the guys where on the backside you're going to need maybe another starter, a Javier-type guy that can give you 2-3 innings in relief because of the fact that Dusty is clamoring for a guy that's just not coming in that door. He's not going to get a guy that's a horse that's going to take you into the eighth and the ninth inning. All these starters in this rotation, at the very best, you hope can get you into the seventh, and that's about the maximum.
Yeah, it is. I mean, unless you go with the six-man rotation, unless you're going with the piggybacking, it doesn't look like this bullpen's going to get any sort of rest. They do have an off day today. That'll help, but not to the extent of what Dusty Baker's talking about. Some thought yesterday that when Dusty Baker went with Maton, the righty, against the lefty from Seattle, why not go Blake Taylor in that spot, another lefty? I didn't have a huge deal with it. Maton's numbers are better against lefties. He does have good breaking ball. Kalinic is not a good breaking ball hitter. And then we saw Blake Taylor. He got lit up later on anyway. So I'm not sure that Dusty Baker there was picking his poison between those two guys.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. That's why it worries me so much. Like, you know what? If you know that the manager has reservations when he goes to the pen, who he's bringing in and how he's going to use them, you best believe that everybody on the roster is looking at it going, I'm not feeling so good right now because of the guys that are going to be expected to keep you in the game, keep it a tie game, hold on to a one-run lead in a game. Those are the kind of issues that really concern me, because that's playoff baseball.
Yep.
That's what you're going to be facing on a nightly basis, nip and tuck, you know, everybody holding on one play here, one play there. You don't have a pad. You don't have a lead. You don't have that luxury that you have in the regular season that I keep focusing on what they need to be working on right now so that they can be prepared for it when it comes in the postseason.
Yeah, I can't wait till the postseason's here. We can see how Dusty's putting it all together. Maybe we see some games where he has the idea of, okay, we're going to treat this one like a playoff game, even though you had the comfortable lead in the AL West. There was some good from yesterday's game. We've talked about a couple of guys heating up, and that if these couple of guys heat up, it can be dangerous for the American League. One of those, Alex Bregman, ever since he's returned from Sugar Land and that rehab assignment, take two, he's been knocking the cover off the baseball. Came on as a pinch hitter yesterday in the ninth, hit a home run. And then Jose Altuve had the long homerless drought, didn't hit a home run since July, and he does it on back-to-back day. So, yes, the bullpen, a huge problem yesterday, but seeing those guys continue to stay hot gives you optimism in the postseason that this offense is going to be clicking on all cylinders.
Well, you hope you don't have to rely on the offense every night, but it would be nice to know that, much like how the Astros built up this lead and the record that they have, when the offense is right, it's better than any offense in baseball. And I don't care how much money the Dodgers spend and all the different guys that they've added, or the Yankees and all the big boppers. I look at this lineup 1-9, and you know, even with Maldonado, you know what? It's timely. Sometimes, you know, when you're least expecting it, he can come in and help you. But the other eight guys, if they're healthy right now going into the postseason, have the potential every single night, no matter how good the pitcher is on the other side, of putting multiple runs and crooked numbers up for you and giving you some kind of a pad to deal with. Now, can you hold on to it? Because we even saw McCullers the other night. Got him a big pad in the first inning, but then he got a little too comfortable pounding the strike zone, and, you know, gave up a couple of runs. So that's where you've got to focus at all times from a pitching staff. You can't relax, but it's nice to know you have an offense that is capable of putting up good, solid numbers for you on a consistent basis, postseason, regular season, whenever they're called upon, if healthy.
Astros fall to Seattle yesterday in the series finale. Still a 5.5-game lead in the AL West. 6 up on Oakland. They begin a 3-game series against the Angels tomorrow. Did you see any of the Derek Jeter Hall of Fame ceremony giving his speech yesterday? Which, a weird day to do it, but cool to see Derek Jeter finally get his moment and get that speech opportunity.
Yeah, just a really, really awkward, weird time to have a Hall of Fame ceremony. But, you know, Jeter being one of the most known baseball, I think maybe the first baseball guy to be Brand Jordan, but took a page right out of Michael's book because of the fact that there was the one writer that didn't vote for him, and he made sure to call out that writer by name during the speech. He's always been a humble guy, an all-class guy. I get it. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek. He was having some fun with it, too. Michael was, when MJ went in, he called out his high school coach that cut him.
He was a little more serious.
And he was salty. He was really salty. But you know what? It almost, to me, for the legend that is Derek Jeter, it did him a disservice because of the fact that that's the guy that needs a Saturday afternoon with a, you know, with all the Yankee fans and a, you know, hearing the whole speech when everybody's not working and paying close attention to it. That's what I expect from a Derek Jeter induction. But because of everything being so backwards because of COVID, I understand that, you know, they had to get it in. It's like the Basketball Hall of Fame to have the two ceremonies in 1 year, try to fit all that in. But just an awkward – I would have liked to have seen some of that speech.
The best question, I think, when it comes to Derek Jeter is which resume is better, his baseball resume or the resume of the women that he's dated throughout his baseball career?
Well, back in the day, we had a running discussion on a show about who had the best little black book of all time. And we had Prince, we had John Mayer, and we had Derek Jeter. And, you know, the legend of Derek Jeter was, as his thank you, ma'am, for his one-night stands and otherwise – the return home was not an Uber. It was a limousine with a bouquet that featured a signed Derek Jeter baseball, amongst other things.
A gift basket.
But, I mean, you can't argue with the guy's life on and off the field. It's basically been a dream life for him. And now he says, when they asked him on SportsCenter last night, do you have anything left to prove? And the first thing that he said was, yeah, now I got to prove that I can run a baseball team in Miami and do the same kinds of things, the same kind of way that I was able to do those things when I was a player. So, I mean, we'll see what he does in Miami, but so far, so good.
All right, it's Killer Bees broadcasting live from Nick's Place on Rocky Ridge off of Westheimer. Come say hello to us. ESPN will be here till 7 with the Wheelhouse. Coming up next, Mad Max. Vernon Maxwell joins us as you listen to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Look, if you're in the Richmond, Fulshear, backside of Sugarland area, and you are looking for great Italian food, you need to go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Go to frankiesitaliankitchentx.com right now so you can check out all the menu items. They used to be known just for their pizza. Now they're known for everything that they make because it's fresh Italian food, all fresh ingredients, all made by the owner himself, Chris Smith, and they do a wonderful job every single time. It's a family environment that's not going to drain your pocketbook. Feel comfortable at the restaurant. Feel full when you leave, and you don't feel like you drained and lost a lot of money in the process. Check them out because that's the place you want to be, and once you've been there once, you're going to be there a million times because it's a go-to spot. It's not a chain, and they make just the best from-scratch meals that you're going to taste ever in Houston when you're looking for Italian food. Check them out today. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com. That's Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham live from Nick's Place on Rocky Ridge off Westheimer. And joining us now, Houston Rocket legend Vernon Maxwell. Mad Max, how you doing? How's it going?
Hey, man, I'm great, man. I'm blessed, man. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good having you live here in the city. I know you make it during the season to a lot of games, but what brings you to town? You got a little bit of a bash going on.
Oh, yeah, well, I got a lot of shit going on this weekend. I got What?
Birthday party?
Yeah, birthday party coming up on Friday, all white party. They say you're supposed to wear white after Labor Day. But this new stuff going on now. So we're going to have on white on Saturday. And then I got a brand party coming out on Sunday. I got a brand that's coming out.
Nice.
It's a surprise. So I have a brand party coming out on Sunday. Officially, my birthday is September the 12th.
Okay.
So we got that going on. And that's at Club Retreat.
Okay.
And my birthday party is at Hayes. It's 5701 Washington.
Oh,
so yeah. So everybody come out and have fun with me.
No
enjoy
doubt.
It. Let's party.
No doubt. Now let me ask you this, because you and I go way, way back.
Yes, we do.
And we went through a lot through all those years.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that this morning. Like, if you look at, and I know the 94 big shots and all the different times that you stepped up when everybody needed someone to step up and Dream was, you know, double teamed. When you look back now at your career and you've had a chance and you know how legendary you are in this city. But, you know, I think a lot of people nationally, we didn't have the kind of coverage and sports centers and league pass to see how good this team was. Not just Dream, because obviously it all started with Dream, but how good this whole team was. So when you look back now, what's your favorite memory of, like, that heyday?
Shucks. Probably when we won it, you know, the first year.
The Knicks shot to me was massive.
Yeah, that was cool, too, but. Probably when we officially had won the first one, because it was special. I feel like it was special for the city because it's the first time ever the city has ever won any championship ever. So that was a special moment for me right there. Yeah, I really when we like officially done it and we had, you know, that's when it was special. That was real special for me.
Vernon Maxwell joining us on the Killer Bees. We're live at Nick's place. And Vernon, I've always wondered this. What was the first time somebody called you Mad Max?
Wow, man, I don't know. My mom's like, I think it was like in 1991, 92, and my mom was calling me. She was like, "Well, okay, Vernon, now what's going on now? Because you know I ain't bringing you up like this. What's what they call you, Mad Max?" But, I mean, obviously everybody knew that, you know, I played, like, reckless and I did crazy things.
And the movie Mad Max added to it.
Well, yeah, and then I did a lot of crazy things out there on the floor, you know what I mean? I mean, like, I'll be there 1 minute and the next minute I'm, like, getting kicked out the game. I mean, everybody, what the hell happened? You know, so, but, I mean, that's why, I guess, because I was reckless and just like the movie
Mad Max. Was that something you embraced, though?
Well, I mean, I had to because it wasn't going anywhere because that's the way I played and that's the mentality I had. And I embraced it, yeah.
I watched Malice at the Palace this morning, and I was thinking back to our days from just how the plane was set up and how everybody was family. But there was a togetherness. Everybody talks about, you know, sports is business now. It's all business, right?
Yes, it is.
But
yes,
at the same point, there's still that family connection. And I think it was thicker back in the day than it is now when everybody's worried about their business. Because I think about just the true kind of care relationships. It wasn't just what you all did on the floor. It's what we did on the planes, what we did in practice.
Oh, my goodness,
and I mean, I remember days you weren't talking to the media. You'd be like, "Joel, meet me in the back. I'm still doing the interview with you because you're family."
Yeah, right.
You and I would go get shots up because we would wait for the media to leave.
Right.
But those are the kind of things that I remember. Like, Rudy would let, if he was going to talk to the team and kind of put the hammer down a little bit, we'd be like, "Oh, we'll step out." No. You're part of the family. You stay. But that's kind of lost today in sports when you look at the way everybody's kind of in it for themselves.
Well, you know, it's this social media thing, man. It's like, it's crazy.
But you're killing it, by the way.
Yeah, well, I love it.
Yeah, so. you're outstanding with that. People that don't love you on social media are Utah.
Utah, we ain't going to even talk about them now. We don't want to talk about Utah. You know, we know they don't got internet, but we ain't talking about that. Right. So, and they talking about, all right, we ain't talking about Utah.
We'll get
all
back
right,
to
what we was talking about. Yeah. Tell
so
me
we're
what.
Talking about just the togetherness back in the day. Okay. I mean, that it was a family.
Yes. Well, the way we were, like, you know, because you was on the plane with Joel. I mean, you saw it. I mean, we, you know, what we did. We gambled, and I mean, we genuinely cared about each other. Like, I knew Kenny's family. I knew everything that they liked to do and what they were doing in the summertime. And Mario and Sam and and just so, I mean, just all of us, man. We were just like a family, man. I mean, it was just like, I mean, and they kept us together so long. You know, I mean, eventually we was like a 500 team at one point. We just stayed at, we were always going 40, I mean, what it was? 41. Yep. Yeah, 41, 41. We was doing that all the time. I was like, well, damn, we got to go either the one way or the other. And then that one year we had a breakout year.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was special. So,
and the reason I say that is because us being part of that traveling party too.
Yeah,
we were all connected. Yes, so if you had a problem, we had a problem.
Yes,
I was in the stands in Portland. Right. Robert Barr was in the stands in Portland.
Yes,
if
yes.
someone mouthed off in Utah, yes. it wasn't just about. And there wasn't team security back in the day. We were our own team security.
We were
going to make sure everybody's butt was covered.
Right. We had that's the thing now, because a lot of things that I went through back in the day, I wouldn't have went through today.
Right.
You know, because they had team security.
Sure.
They had, like, people that would have went up there and handled that for me.
Yep.
I wouldn't have had to do all that cussing on the bench until it made me so mad where I wanted to get up and smack the shit out of somebody.
Yep.
So I'm sorry. but I just got to say that.
Right.
And that's the way I feel. And so, I would have been protected.
Yes.
I mean, like these
insulated,
guys
right?
Yeah,
so that
like
you didn't have to deal with it
day,
yourself.
But yeah, but it is what it is, and I mean, and that's what it was, and I mean, like I say it all the time, I'll do it all over again if it arrived like that. I'll do it all over again. I'll smack the shit out of him again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Houston legend Vernon Maxwell joining us on the Killer Bees, broadcasting live from Nick's Place. And, you know, you mentioned that you love social media, you love Twitter. How do you think you would have loved it if it was around in your playing days?
Ooh, it'd have been rough. I mean, I don't think I'd have survived.
Why is that?
Because, I mean, a lot of things I was doing outside of basketball, you know.
Yeah.
It'd have been like
on TMZ and all that.
Everybody's a reporter.
Yeah.
If you got a phone, you got video or a picture. You got news.
But that'd have been. I'm glad I played in the era that I played in, because I wouldn't have survived in this era with this social media stuff going on out here. And I love it now, because it gives me a platform where I get to say and you know, just like you guys,
yeah.
get to come on your station and do what y'all do. I feel like I have a platform too where I get to say it any day I want to, and I say it every day about, you know, Utah, that state. Well, I mean, whatever.
Just call it that state up north.
Yeah,
where I think it gets cowardly, though, V, is coaches and players that use that form of communication as opposed to man-to-man in the locker room or on the bench, right? It's like you see coaches that don't want to talk to their players, but he wants to put it out on social media and put it in the media, and you see players that have an issue with what happened the night before, but instead of talking to the manager or the coach,
right.
they want to just put it out on their Twitter account or something and then let everybody react to it. And I think that back in the day, it was one-on-one, man-to-man.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. The social media is so different with the guys right now and the way when I played back in the day, you know what I mean? Like, if I had a problem with somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm coming to you.
Yep.
I got to say what I got to say, and I got to get it off my chest. I can't hold it on, because if I do, it's going to end up being – I'm going to explode, and it's going to be a problem then. So, but that's the way – I mean, but nowadays, I mean, these kids nowadays, they rather go on this social media and do this. I mean, it's just what it is, and that's where the world has came to now. It's like this it's social media stuff, Instagram and Facebook and, I mean, Twitter, I mean, I guess it gives everybody a platform. Like I said, for me, I love it.
Yeah.
Because any day when I have something I want to say, I can just jump on there, and I got my own damn studio in my house.
Yeah.
And I just damn plug it up, and I sit over there. And I just, like I'm over here right now. What's up, my peoples on Instagram? I knew y'all see me. And I say what I have to say, so I love it.
You have one more segment, Andy? Can you come right back?
Of course.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Yeah. More of the Houston sports legend, Vernon Maxwell. Mad Max joining us live on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're out at Nick's Place on Rocky Ridge off Westheimer. Vernon Maxwell joining us on the Killer Bees. Vernon has his birthday party coming up on Saturday at Hayes Nightclub, 5701 Washington. Make sure you head out over there. Celebrate Max's birthday with him. Also, if you need some Vernon Maxwell throwbacks, some jerseys, you can hit him up too at vernonmadmax@gmail.com.
You sign those.
All the time.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Yeah.
Vernon, you keeping up with the Rockets these days?
Of course.
What do you think of the young guy?
I love the young boys. I love Jalen Green. Oh, man, it's going to be wonderful season. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, man. They got a great young team. I just feel like for us to get to the next hump, you know, where we could talk about championships, we need that one, like, real fictitious, that killer guy, yeah. You know, when you can just give him the ball, like, you know, and just, okay, we need a bucket and make a great decision, and that's what we missing, but I think we headed in the right direction. I love what we have. I mean, I love the young nucleus that we have. I mean, especially adding that kid, Green and Christopher.
Josh Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher. Oh, my goodness. I love him, too.
You know, so. Max, the thing that's funny to me is that everybody kind of, because of the draft that they had, and they were able to add the four 19-year-olds, you lose sight of the fact that one of the most savvy moves they could have made last year was basically giving up nothing for Kevin Porter Jr., who dropped a 50-piece late in the year. From all, you know, Eldridge Rakaczner and some of the old Rockets are up there in on the West Coast watching Jamal Crawford Summer League going, let me tell you something. This kid is killing everybody. That's one that I think people lose sight of because of Green.
No, I love him, man. I mean, him and Green in the backcourt together, that's what I'm saying, man. That's a special backcourt, man. Junior, he's so special, man. I mean, the guy.
Those are guys you can build around.
Yes, man. Yes, he's a special player, man. I mean, I love his game. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this year, and I'm gonna be out here a lot this year, watching and seeing what's going on. But you know, I got my son playing at Georgia Tech too, so I'm gonna be.
So you go to a lot of games?
Of course, I don't miss no games with him.
And so. Josh Pasner coaching there. He's got ties here to Houston, so a lot of people remember
Josh,
him and know him.
Josh, that's
so he's
my
in
guy.
A good spot.
Yep,
so
Josh,
he's a guard?
Yes, he's a combo guard. He played both. You know, these days you got to play both. You got to be able to handle, and you got to be able to shoot and score. So he plays both positions. He's a combo guard.
You and I were talking about this, the difference between when you played and it was so physical and you could put hands on anybody going through the lane or on the perimeter, and then the difference between then and now. How much you would have flourished because of the fact that I always said end-to-end you were the fastest guy in the league, but that's with being bumped and pushed.
Right.
If they can't touch you, I mean, you can just go all day.
No, I was going to get 10 free throws a night. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, as soon as we get in the penalty, I'm just taking off to the basket. You know what I mean? As soon as you touch somebody, I mean, you put your hands on somebody, I mean, beep. I'm shooting 10 to 12 free throws a game back now.
Right.
Right now in these days. So, yeah, it had been – I'd have easily averaged 20-plus days right now, yeah.
Yeah, it's built for the offensive player certainly these days. Joel and I always talk about sports hate and the guys that we hate, the sports. It's like I hated Derek Jeter as a baseball player. Respect the heck out of him, right, going to the Hall of Fame. Who do you have the most sports hate for? Like who did you hate going up against? Who did you hate playing? Whatever, however you describe that, who did you have the most sports hate for?
Well, come on, man. We already know it. Utah.
Well, which one guy? Which one, though? Stockton, Hornacek, Malone?
All of them. They were some dirty. they look like little church
choir
boys. They look choir boys. Them was as dirty as hell.
What was the dirty stuff they would do?
Man, I put it on Instagram the other day. Man tried to trip me when I was getting to the basket. Man, Stockton. He got his leg out trying to. I mean, I'm like, look at this. Can you now do y'all see what I'm talking about? I mean, they just looked like choir boys, but they were some dirty boys, man. I mean, Utah, them boys were dirty. I mean, I love Horny. You know, he over here with the Rockets. You know what I mean? Not talking. Hey, Jeff, you know, you with us now.
Sports hate. It's sports
hate. Yeah, we just talking on. All right. Don't hold. Nah, come on, Jeff. You know I love you now. Come on. I'm going to see you real soon. All right. Hey.
But, he shot the free throws?
Yeah. That's,
rub his
cheek. That's right. That's
touch
right.
The face.
That's right. Oh, Jeff, yeah. So,
well, but, you were known as an MJ stopper.
I don't know about all that.
And I know I just, you talked on some podcasts about the extra prep work you had to do when you went up against him. But I know that you're going to be modest about that. But at the same time, watching those games, you had an impact on what Michael tried to do against everybody else. And you gave him some hassle.
Well, you know, you got the big guy behind me. Now, I got a big guy back there, so athletic, and we used to funnel guys down to him where he can, like, change shots and block shots. And that's what our defense was, like, predicated to. Like, okay, we're going to make him drive this way. If you let him go this other way, now it's going to kill us. But we want to send him this way. And that's what we had defense. Like, and then and Dream was, I mean, he helped out so much. I mean, when they say I was a Michael stopper, I was an agitator. I was a Michael Jordan agitator.
Well, he liked to talk, and you were more than willing to participate.
Of course, yeah. That's what I did, and you know, I don't care about the other guy in the other uniform when I ever played against nobody. I mean, because I mean, I just didn't. I mean, I can hang out with a guy the night before the game, and we go out and have dinner and have drinks and stuff, and then the next day we playing and he put his hand on me, be like, man, get your motherfucker. Man.
Yeah.
Hey, and be like, damn, Max, we was just hanging out last night. And what's going on? You got some crazy shit going on with you. See, we just hanging out last night, man. Where you going? Now you want to fight. I mean, but so that's the way I was, man. I just love, you know, my teammates and my team, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win.
Can you put an end to it, MJ or LeBron? You played against MJ. You've seen LeBron. It's always the never-ending debate.
You can't do it.
I always draw Kobe in that mix because of the fact that so quietly, Kobe had 5 rings. Kobe did everything.
You can't do that because, I mean, it's totally different eras. I mean, back when, I mean, Mike played, I mean, it was hand-checking involved. And it was so physical and tough. And shit, I mean, now you can't even touch nobody. I mean, you can't put your hands on nobody now. So, I mean, if Mike would have played, if he played now, I mean, well, these kids, I mean, man, I think he can have 50.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't touch nobody.
Right.
I mean.
So on the flip side, could LeBron handle the physicality back in the day?
Of course, yeah. LeBron can play it in the air.
Yeah.
Bron.
But effectively, could he do the same thing, scoring and everything? Because
Bron will be effective. He's so high IQ. I mean, he'll be LeBron. He'll be a special player. Back in the day, Bron is Bron. I love that kid.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you think about all this Deshaun Watson stuff going on? What do you think the Texans should do with him?
Hey man, you know I got. I don't like what happened to that kid, man, because I felt like he got set up, you know. And, you know, I hate it for him. It's sad, you know, what he's going through and what he has to go through, because I feel like he got just, like, set up, man. I feel like if he didn't want to play here and he wanted to be traded, I feel like he should have left here and not stayed around here.
Yeah, sign the extension.
Yeah. Do that or just go. Just leave. Just go on. Just go. You got to go where you want to go. And I hate that for that kid. But I think the kid's a great kid. I mean, I know he is. I know him. I met him. And I mean, he come from a good family, and I hate it for him, man. But, I mean, I hope it works out for him. I mean, whatever happens for him, I mean, if I can talk to him, I would love to talk
See,
to him.
See, that's what I was going to go with this. I would love him to kind of pick your brain, because you've been through that ringer, right? Not with the social media,
that's what
but
I'm
you've
saying.
Been through your ringer, the ringer here,
yeah.
And you know that when you're beloved in this city,
yes,
they're going to do anything for you.
Right.
But the minute that you say you want
didn't
now sense. All bets are off. Arden did it. Deshaun did it. You watch what the city did.
I did it.
Yeah, that's right.
I did it. I left. You know, I mean, I shouldn't have left the way I left. But I'm just saying that when I did say I was going to leave, it was like, oh, my goodness. The whole –
it was like, after shoot around in Utah. I was there.
Yeah, it was like when I did it, though, it was like the city, like, flipped on me and shit. I mean, it was like, oh, Lord. I was like, oh, damn, nobody don't care about me no more around here. You know what I mean? And that's how – I know what that kid's going through. I mean, because I was there. I swear, I was there. I can put myself where he's at right now. And I hate that for him.
You know what I mean?
Because that was a dark place in my life. And I hate that for that kid, man. I really do.
Vernon, that 93-94 season. Vernon Maxwell, our guest on the Killer Bees. 93-94. Jordan doesn't retire. You get the Bulls. You guys still winning it?
Of course. I mean, you got to look at the numbers. We beat them more than they beat us. I mean, even during the championship years, we just had a problem with, like, Seattle and you know, teams like that.
Yeah.
We had a problem, like, beating those guys. They matched up well with us. So, and we could have got past those guys. It would have been a great series, but it probably would have went seven or six. But we would have beat them, though. I know that all my life.
Rudy's told the story. Charles has told the story. I know the story. When Michael went to Charles's house one night, and Rudy and the coaching staff were there, and then I was lucky enough a couple times to have conversations with MJ on the golf course, and he said the same thing. He said, y'all still had that big Nigerian. And he said, and he was the best player in the world at that time.
Right, yeah.
He goes, and I'm looking at my roster going, who's stopping him?
Nobody.
Luke Longley, Bill Cartwright, those kind of guys. And so even he, in front of Rudy and the coaching staff, said, you know what, we had our hands full with that one.
Of course. That was a common denominator right there. I mean, with Dream there. I mean, that man was – he used to kill them. I mean, they had no answer. I mean – he was. Oh my goodness.
You feel like he's underrated because when you see the greatest centers of all time, he slides down the list.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think he gets penalized for his athleticism.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, people tend to take things that he used to do for granted because, you know, like I used to see it in practice all the time, the way he's spinning and fade away and shoot it going out of bounds. I'd be like, oh, I mean, but I was like, all right, that's like a regular jump shot.
Yep.
Me, like, you know, everybody take it for granted, man, but he was a special player, man. I mean, the best player I ever played with, man. I mean, and a good person, too.
Oh,
man.
Great guy.
I mean, yeah, yeah. But he'll put his hands on you now.
He used to become Muslim. Then he found out he found a different lifestyle, and he changed all that.
Vernon Maxwell's birthday party Saturday at Hayes Nightclub, 5701 Washington. Make sure you come through,
please,
see
dude.
Vernon, hang out. It'll be a great time at the Hayes Nightclub Saturday night. And again, if you're looking for those jerseys, authentic jerseys signed by Vernon Maxwell, you can get them at VernonMadMax@gmail.com. That's VernonMadMax@gmail.com. Vernon Maxwell, thanks so much for coming through. Appreciated the time, the conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Thanks a lot.
Houston legend Maxwell stopping in on the Killer Bees.
Wow.
Coming up next, be joined. We're going to take a look at the Texans' expectations this season, what Tyrod Taylor had to say about those expectations. That's next, Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.5.
Channel 2, huh?
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Good stuff, as always, with Vernon Maxwell joining us earlier. You can catch it on the podcast later, ESPN 97.5.com. But great stories there about the choir boys in Utah. And the disrespect for Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, one of the all-time greats. How do people sleep on Hakeem Olajuwon whenever you talk about all-time greats in NBA history?
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, the Tim Duncan versus Hakeem argument always comes up. And obviously you get Spurs fans that always are interested in trying to put that debate together. But I think that, you know, what Tim Duncan easily gets into that where you can call him a center, you can call him a power forward. You call Dream a small forward if you want, because Dream was so athletic. He played so many positions that a lot of times, well, he wasn't physical enough. You know what? He was physical enough to put fear in the heart of any center in the game. And then from the other standpoint, he could go out and on the wing and guard guys. He could face the basket and make shots. He is the prototypical center in the NBA today and then some.
And imagine doing it in today's era, you know, like how with the open space, with the floor being wide open. I think he would absolutely kill it in today's day and age. So the Bradley Roby trade with the New Orleans Saints, it's been reported on. Everybody's talking about it like it's certain, and it looks like it's going to be certain. There are some hurdles that need to be jumped and things that need to be cleared before it's official. The biggest thing is what the New Orleans Saints are currently in the salary cap, right?
Yeah.
They're so far over the cap that they can't just absorb the contract of Bradley Roby. They got to move some things around, and now the latest reports are that the Texans have converted most of the salary into a signing bonus, and now the Texans are eating a lot of the cash.
See, that's what I
How
hate.
Does that change your opinion of the trade that we were talking about yesterday?
Night and day. Because I said the one thing that made the trade make sense was clearing up all the finances. But if you can't clear up the finances and you're not getting the draft pick you want, now I got major issues, and I think that's where everybody should have a problem.
Yeah, that's my stance, too. If you're going to be absorbing so much of the contract to Bradley Roby, the price of what you get back in terms of a draft pick should rise. And I know yesterday we were talking third rounder, fourth rounder. We weren't exactly sure what's going to come back. I think for what you're doing now in terms of the contract, I think you have to be in a situation where third rounder or bust, and we've heard multiple picks as well, but if what you're getting in return is at least a third round draft pick, this would be another loss for Nick Caserio, especially considering now that they're taking most of the money of Bradley Roby's contract.
That's the biggest issue that I got, Jeremy, more than anything else. You know what? We could go back and forth and hem and haw if it was a fourth or a third, whatever. You know what? At this point, they need as many picks as they can get, so I'm fine with that. That's why I wasn't bothered, because what I was thinking the win was in the deal was saving all that money this year and next year. Now, if you tell me that they're going to be eating the majority of the money, then why'd you make the deal in the first place? Unless it is truly addition by subtraction, getting them out of the locker room because they knew as an organization. And that's not the first time this has happened. But in sports, if you have a guy that is rubbing your young players the wrong way and is a bad influence in the locker room, there's times they'll get you out of town for the sake of just saying, we can't deal with this anymore, and the long-term ramifications it might have on our young team.
Or if you're happy with the return, right?
Sure.
Like if you're in the mindset of, if like you and I have been, and you're in the mindset, I think, of what Nick Caserio is too, that if you have any sort of value and you're a veteran right now in the Houston Texans, and you showcase that value between now and November 2nd, which is the NFL trade deadline, there's a good chance you're going to be shipped out of Houston. You're going to be traded to a contending team. And Nick Caserio knows that Bradley Roby was one of his most valuable pieces that he has left in this organization. He knows that that could be used in a trade to get as much return as you can during the 2021 regular season. So I can see a scenario in New Orleans. Look, they're a playoff contending team. They're a team with Sean Payton that thinks that they have Super Bowl aspirations. A lot of that depends on Jameis Winston and what he looks like with his first year as a head coach with the New Orleans Saints. But it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if the Saints called up Caserio and said, hey, look, we'll give you a third rounder, a fifth rounder. Third rounder's probably as good as you're going to do for Bradley Roby at the trade deadline. Now you have to eat the contract, but we're giving you a third round pick. And now the Texans are basically buying a third and a fifth for what, $6.5 million? I'm actually good with that. I don't care that you're spending the $6.5 million. I want more picks if this is a rebuild.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, is that, you know, as we talked about, and I keep harping on with the embrace the suck because of the fact that you want the best draft picks you can get when you have your full complement. Well, if you have your full complement and more, then you know what? Every deal you made that helped add picks to that whole litter of picks that you're going to have, that's a bonus. That's a win. Right? So if you can get two picks out of the deal, then it makes sense no matter what the finances are and how much money you're eating, because we already know that, you know, there between dead cap money and all the things that Caserio's had to do just to be respectable cap-wise, that it's been a challenge for the team and it's been some financial hits. You're not going anywhere anyway this year, so the fact that you're taking these hits now as opposed to later, fine. But there were so many ways that I'm looking at that as being a win-win. I can only hope when the final deal comes out, and we hear that if we do indeed hear that the Texans had to eat money, that they got extra picks out of the deal. That's the only way that this deal makes sense. That's the only way I'll justify this deal. I am night and day from yesterday because we didn't have all the details. If that's the details we're getting now, now I've got more of a problem with it.
I think yesterday with the trade of Bradley Roby, whenever the news came out from, I can't forget the guy.
Pelissero,
yes. Whenever the news came out, I think there was a fraction, a small percentage of Texas Hawks, Texans homers, what, maybe 5% of the people that are out there that still actually thought maybe the Texans are trying to go 7-10 this season. I think yesterday that final 5% of the bandwagon, those 5% of homers, I think even they yesterday were saying embrace the suck.
Well, it depends on who you're employed by, but other than that, most people had to get the reality check that they were not willing to accept previously, which is the fact that this is what the plan was all along. You heard Caserio's quote last week, and you knew exactly what he meant without him having to come flat out and say it by reading between the lines. Look, we are going to go through trusting the process. If we don't win games, but we play good football, that's going to be okay for him because that's exactly what he needs to do. He knows what he needs to do. He knows that the city doesn't want to hear it. He knows that the media wants to jump all over it, if that is indeed the case. But in the meantime, quietly amongst his people internally in that building, they know exactly what they need to do, which is start evaluating now, build the talent that can be there for the next couple years while they get better, but make sure at the end of the day you get the results you need, which is be the Rockets of a year ago. Stay in games for three and a half quarters and find a way to lose because that's going to get you the best return and the quickest turnaround when you're doing the whole rebuild.
There are some who still think the Houston Texans could win, and it's the 53 guys in the locker room that are going to be playing for contracts, playing for pride. Maybe not even all 53 of those guys think that they can win, but one guy does. Tyrod Taylor says what he wants this season. What are the expectations of the Texans?
I mean, obviously, from myself, to go out and play winning football. And I think the same for the team. I think the expectation is the same. Winning football is the standard. We've set that standard from day one with the work that we put in day in and day out. And like I said, it's going to boil down to executing and doing that at a high level.
Does he not sound like an offensive lineman? His voice does. His voice just sounds like an offensive lineman.
It was kind of high-pitched. Do most offensive linemen have high-pitched
like
voices?
He just got done with a big meal after a long weightlifting session, and I'm just going to tell you how it's going to be.
But you know what? Look.
You have to think like that if you're QB1 on a team.
Especially a guy.
And a leader and a captain.
Yeah, especially a QB1 getting maybe his last chance to be a true, legitimate, full-season starter in the NFL, knowing that if he does what they say can't be done, Smokey and the Bandit, that he can be a guy that, whether it's here or elsewhere, can be looked at as having some more longevity in the league. It might not be a guy that starts next year, but it might be a guy that they say, you know what? Because of his character, because of the way he is in the locker room, because he's still got a little left in the tank, he could be my backup. He could be a guy, another team needs another bridge quarterback. If the Texans feel like they don't get their quarterback this year, he can be a guy that you can go to for multiple years going, you know what? He can get me through. And when he's done doing that, he probably wouldn't have a problem stepping back a little bit for a young quarterback if he knew that he would keep him in the league for a few more years.
Do you want to break down the impact of missing out on a slightly overpaid kicker, what he's going to mean that he's not playing on Sunday for a 4-13 football team?
Well, you know what? I'd still hold my breath the same way whoever's kicking this week, just like I do when Kyahmi Fairbairn, the third highest paid kicker in the league, between 6 and 3, depending on who gets new contracts, for a guy that doesn't warrant being what paid like, or based on performance, one of the best three, four, five, six kickers in the league. But I know I hold my breath anything outside of 40 yards with that guy, and sometimes on extra points. So if he's out and you're bringing someone else in, maybe it's the way you supplant another big contract and you realize you got a kicker for half the price that can do exactly what Fairbairn does on a weekly basis.
Joey Sly will be kicking for your fantasy football purposes. You know who I want kicking for the Texans? Anybody who can channel their inner Chris Brown. Remember when he shanked that field goal in the last game of the season so they could guarantee themselves the number one overall pick? It was like a 25-30 yarder for the win. He hooked it left. Like, that's the kind of guy I want kicking on the Houston Texans this season as we embrace the
suck. I thought you wanted Randy Bullock back.
I like Randy. He's a Klein guy.
Okay.
He's a local kid.
He looked like a long snapper.
As long as you're not helping this team win, embrace the suck. I don't care who it is.
Oh, now you're on
kicking
board
for the Houston Texans.
Well, when you look like the long snapper, you look like the long snapper and you're kicking field goals for the Texans. I mean, he made his way to the training table very well.
Yeah, yeah, that's one way to describe Randy Bullock. All right, we're broadcasting live at Nick's Place on Rocky Ridge right off of Westheimer. Crystal's out here. Good to see her. Swing on by, have some lunch, ditch off work early, have
Betty.
A drink. Get on out here at Nick's Place. The Woolhouse will be here 3 to 7 as well. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Pete Futek. Talk some college football. The big games of the week, we chat with him when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.